But I pray that you would anoint Pastor Jim this morning, and that his words would be of your spirit, and that we would be filled with compassion and filled with your holiness this morning, Lord. So I thank you once again for gathering us all here this morning. And all God's people said, y'all can be seated.
Good morning. Working? All right, so we continue our series on the Beatitudes, and we're on the third one now. Would you read this with me aloud? Okay. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's read them all again, and we'll pray after that. Okay. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I pray that as we open your word today, that you will teach us how to be a blessing, and how to be blessed. Teach us what true blessing really looks like. Lord, it doesn't look like the ways of this world. And so reorient our vision, our thinking, the way of seeing the world around us, the way of seeing ourselves, and teach us, Lord. Help us to be submissive to you. Help us to be meek. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Okay, so superhero movies are all the rage these days. They've taken over pop culture and mainstream media the world over. You can almost say that these superheroes have inherited the earth, right? I'll admit it, I enjoy superhero movies a lot as well. My favorite superhero, my personal favorite, is Superman. There was something about him that I always connected to, his alienation, his struggle with dual identities, and his sense of justice. And these were things that I always just really resonated with. So I'm a Superman man. Our superheroes of today are like modern-day Greek gods and goddesses. They have their own mythology, their own origins, their own strengths and powers. And isn't that one of the defining characteristics of a superhero? It's their power, right? Their power, which is often reflected in their name. I mean, think about it. What would Superman be without his invulnerability? He'd be like the Man of Glass, right? What would the Hulk be without his raw strength and his rage? He'd be just a gentle giant. Would any superhero be interesting without their unique ability to influence others and change the world around them? Right? Would a superhero be interesting if they couldn't do anything, couldn't change anything? And what kind of superhero, what kind of hero would that be? Right? Is there such a thing as a meek superhero? Is there such a thing as a meek superhero? Jesus, right, he tells us, the meek shall inherit the earth. Right, the meek are the ones who actually have influence and power. Right, it's the meek, which runs contrary to our common sense, doesn't it? I mean, it goes against everything that our culture and our society values in a hero, right? A hero, a savior. We, as a culture, equate strength with power. We, as a culture, equate volume with truth. We equate confidence with conviction. We equate control with ability. Weakness. Meekness is often seen as weakness. in the eyes of the world. So, if we, being Christians, want to further the kingdom of God, right, God, who is the almighty and the all-powerful one, right, shouldn't we also do everything in our power to use our might and our power and to be like God? Shouldn't we also be mighty and powerful to achieve God's purposes in this world? And yet the scriptures, they paint another picture. They glorify humility and servanthood and selflessness. In our beatitude today, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It's meekness. This quality of meekness is what inherits the earth. So this morning I have three questions. If you look in your bulletin, you'll find them as well. Three questions to ask. What is biblical meekness? What is our inheritance? And how can we be blessed? So those are my three points. Three questions. Right, number one, meekness. Let's talk about meekness. The word conjures up images of, well, actually, let me ask you. Right, just think for a second. When you hear the word meekness, right, just think about that word meekness. What kind of a picture does that paint in your mind? Meekness. It makes me think of a timid little mouse, right? A timid little mouse who doesn't even make a peep, doesn't make a sound. They're very meek. They scurry around secretly, right? Meekness. Maybe some of you think of someone who's a doormat, someone who gets stepped on by others, who lets others step all over them. Meekness. Meekness also conjures up this image of weakling. Right, someone who can't stand up for themselves because they're just so weak, a weakling. Is that what you think of when you think of the word meekness? We, most of us, would think of the opposite of a superhero or a Greek god, right? No one would think of a hero as being meek. The original word that Jesus uses that we get the word meekness, meek, that's translated as meek, is the Greek word praus. Praus. Okay. Actually, can you guys say that? Praus. Praus. P-R-A-U-S. Praus. This word praus has a really tricky definition because it's used in so many different ways in the Bible. When praus is applied to animals, it has this idea of being tame, right? A tame animal. So these animals have not lost their strength. They have not lost their strength, but they have been tamed. They have learned to control their strength. What was once a wild and dangerous animal can now be harnessed. Right? Their power, their strength can be harnessed, and they can now live peaceably and in harmony with others. Praus, right? Tame. Blessed are the tame. The tame. Another common usage of praus is used to describe someone who doesn't throw their own weight around, right, to seize what they want. Right? You know people that do this. They throw their weight, their clout, their influence, their power. Right? They throw their own weight around to seize what they want. But the praus, the meek, instead, they rely on God to give them their due. Someone who isn't demanding or forceful, someone who waits on God. Praus describes someone who doesn't impose their will on others. Right? Again, this runs contrary to our common sense. The world's way of getting ahead or inheriting the earth, if you want to say it. The meek shall inherit the earth. That doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense. Right? The world says power looks like this. Right. Oh, wait. Oh, those are my three questions. Okay, the world says power looks like this, right? That's the world's view of power, right? You guys know who this is? The Hulk. This is the Incredible Hulk. If you read comic books or if you watch the comic book movies, you might know. Okay, the Hulk, he's probably one of the strongest characters in all of comic universe. Okay, this is the Hulk, right? The world says this is power. This is how you get ahead in the kingdoms of the world, right? Might makes right. Dog eats dog. The strong survive, the weak perish. So, show your strength, right? Hulk out. Show your strength. Use your strength to smash your obstacles. Trample your enemies. If someone hurts you, you hurt them right back. The one with the biggest stick wins. The one with the most advanced weaponry or the biggest military is to be revered, respected, and feared. Right? That's power. That's power. That's strength. That's how you inherit the earth. You take it. If you want to inherit the earth, you want a piece of this world, you go and you take it. Right? But Jesus says, no. Blessed are the prowse, the tame, the meek, the gentle. Right? Not those who are weak, but those who have learned to control their strength and use their strength in the right way. Those who would wait patiently on God to vindicate them because God is our avenger. God is our avenger. Right? So, right. Blessed are the meek, the prowse, not this. Okay. All right, second one. The world says power looks like this. Let me see if you guys know this one. This is what the world says power is. For those of you who don't know, this is Professor X of the X-Men. He has the power of mind control. He can literally mind control people. He's able to read and influence the thoughts of others. In the kingdoms of this world, being able to impose your will upon others, that is power. Being able to impose your own will on others, that's power. We see it in great speakers, able to convince people to their viewpoint. We see it in great leaders, able to rally people to their cause. That is power, to be able to influence others. But Jesus says, no, blessed are the meek, the prowse, the submissive, right? Those who submit to God's will. For their own lives and the lives of others. God's will is more important. Not imposing your will on others. It's about accepting and submitting to God's will. Those people, the meek, the prowse, would say no to their own desires, their own hopes, their own dreams. They say no to themselves and they say yes to God. Yes, Lord, I will deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. Yes, Lord, I forgive those who trespass against me, and I love my enemies, as difficult as that may be. Those who are meek are those who seek God's will and God's kingdom, right? Not their own. But again, this idea of meekness runs contrary to what the world says is power and strength, how the world says you take a piece of this world, right? Take a piece of this earth. You got to take it. You got to influence others for them to give it to you. And yet meekness, prowse, humility, servitude, gentleness, control. This is the picture that God paints for us. This is the picture of God himself in Jesus Christ. True strength, true control is found in Jesus. This is one of the verses that we had to memorize at our summer conference. Philippians 2:6, I think it really illustrates strength and control. Take a look with me. Who, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. In this passage, here we see true strength, right? We've got a man who has equality with God. Equality with God. He doesn't just have God-like powers. He is God, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. And yet Jesus tamed his power by emptying himself and taking the form of a servant. That's true power. Imagine how disciplined he must have been, how reserved he must have been the 33 years of his life. He had to hold back his power. Right? Talk about pulling your punches. Right? This is a man who tamed his power, who was meek. That's true strength right there. In Jesus, we also see true control, right? He humbled himself by becoming obedient. He didn't seek his own will. He only did what his Father sent him to do. You know, even at the last minute, he was struggling in the garden. Right? He's got sweat dripping down like beads of blood, right? He cries out, right, not as I will, but as you will. Right? He gave himself, he gave his control completely up to God. Our Lord Jesus Christ perfectly exemplifies this virtue of prowess, of meekness. Right? We see that in Jesus. We see strength in discipline. We see control in line with God's will. If you want to see a true hero, I'll show you a true hero. That is a true hero. Strength and control. Meekness. Prowess. Can heroes be meek? Not the ones you'll find in comic books, but heroes of the faith, yes, they can be meek. The Savior of the world, yes, he is meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Our beatitude today is also forward-looking, pointing to this future reality. They shall inherit the earth. They shall receive something. And the meek, they wait for it in expectant hope. An inheritance, oh, there it is. An inheritance is something that we wait for. Right? We need to wait for an inheritance. It's not given to us on our timeline. It's given to us in God's timeline. Right? You can't go to your parents or whoever is leaving you money, and you can't say, give me my inheritance right now, right? You have no right to demand your inheritance. Right? Inheritance is something that we wait for. An inheritance is also something that is received, not taken. This, again, lines up with the idea of the meek who wouldn't use their strength to get what they want, right? Whether it's vengeance for a wrong that's done to them, or vindication to prove themselves right about something. The meek don't use their own strength and influence to take what they want. They wait patiently, praying and receiving with open arms. The word inheritance, this word inheritance, was often used in the Old Testament in relation to the promised land, the promised land. Throughout the Old Testament, Israel, they called the land their inheritance. Right? The land symbolized their home. It was a place of belonging. It represented purpose and providence. Right? It was promised to them by God. If you're curious, take a look in your Bibles at Genesis 12. The very, very first time that God ever speaks to Abraham is in Genesis 12. And he says this, right? Now the Lord said to Abram, right? This is the first time he ever says anything to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So God's drawing attention to the land. This is before God promises anything to Abraham, right? He promises a lot to Abraham to make him a great nation, to bless him. But before any of that, God says, go and look at this land that I'm about to show you. Verse 7 says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So there, he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So this land had been promised to Abram from the very beginning. From the very, very beginning, this land had already been promised to him. The Israelites always believed that this land was theirs. This was their land. Even before they had conquered it, even when their enemies were still inhabiting this land, they trusted in God's promise. This is our land. Our enemies that are still there, they're living there, they don't know it yet, but this is our land. And God is going to give it to us. this promise gave them hope. It gave them courage in their battles under Joshua, knowing that God and his army of angels was fighting on their side. Even after they lost the land, they continued to believe and trust that this land was theirs. They were going to retake it. A new king was going to rise up, a second David, a Messiah was going to rise up, and they were going to reclaim their land because it was their inheritance. This is the messianic hope that they clung onto during their exile. They patiently waited for God to act and to give them back their land. So they waited, and they waited for hundreds and hundreds of years. They waited. Some of these people, some of these Jews, they got tired of waiting. Right? Some of them became zealots, rebels. They armed themselves. They become nationalists. They armed themselves. They used violence to achieve their cause. They thought they were in the right. They thought what they were doing was holy. They were just taking back what was rightfully theirs. Right? And they tried to overthrow Rome. In the intertestamental period, it's just full of revolts, revolutions, failed revolutions. But that was the way that these zealots thought they were taking back their land. Right? That was in their way, their timing. Right? They were going to take back their land. But God had another way. God had another way. Andrew read for us this morning Psalm 37, and it perfectly illustrates this messianic hope that they had. Right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more, though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. So this psalm, this is the psalm that Jesus had in mind when he quoted when he was speaking this beatitude. The meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the land. Right, so the meek are those who, if you take a look, you'll find it in verse 4, the meek are those who delight themselves in submitting to God's will. Take a look in verse 5. This is the picture of the meek. The meek are those who don't act on their own accord, but verse 5 says they wait patiently on God. That's what it means to be meek. Right? Not the zealots who try to take things by force. This is a picture of what it means to be meek, to wait patiently and trust in God. God was planning and preparing to give them something much greater than a tiny piece of real estate in the Middle East. God was going to give his people the whole earth. God himself was going to come down and be their king, right? Which he did. He did in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And those who wait and trust and hope in him are promised an inheritance, that we will be with him in his kingdom. We will be with him in his kingdom. But guess what? It gets better than that. We're not just going to only be with him in his kingdom. We will reign with him in his kingdom. Revelation 20 illustrates this. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The faithful saints reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. When Jesus says that the meek shall inherit the earth, he's saying we're going to reign with him. We are going to reign with Jesus. Can you imagine that? Can you picture that? That's amazing. Our inheritance, our reward for faithfulness in this life is our spot next to him, right? Standing beside him in his kingdom and reigning with him. And this reign that we're going to have, this his kingdom, it doesn't look like the kingdoms of this earth, right? The kingdoms that rule with power, fear, might, and strength. Because our king doesn't look like other kings. Our king, he is strong, but not tyrannical. Our king is willful, but not imposing. Our king is both the Lion of Judah, but also the Lamb of God. We will reign with him, but we must reign like him. How then can we be blessed? How then can we be blessed? How can we reign with him here, today, and in the future? The first and most obvious way is to, number one, emulate Christ's meekness. Again, we don't confuse meekness with weakness. Right? We do have strength. We do have conviction. We just don't use them for personal gain. We don't use our clout. We don't enact our own sense of justice. If someone wrongs you and says something nasty to you, right, our first instinct might be to prove them wrong. Right? Say something nasty right back at them. Right? We've all been tempted to do this before. Right? I'm being just. I'm being right. Giving them what they deserve. But that's not the way of meekness. Instead, we submit to God's way, the way of forgiveness, a gentle correction. We think before we speak a harsh word. We're meek. Another example, if there's a way for you to get ahead of someone at work, say a coworker, and you're both up for the same position, the same promotion, whatever, and the opportunity comes, and you can fight this coworker for that spot. You can win it. You can win. You can fight, and you can win. You can throw them under the bus. You can make them look bad. Right? I've been tempted to do this before, right, at my previous job. This is real. This is real life. These opportunities come and present themselves, and you can throw your coworker under the bus to get ahead in your career. But that is not the way of meekness. God's will is for us to consider the other more important than ourselves, or even if it costs us. Meekness is not selfish. Secondly, I think we should also teach our children to emulate and imitate meekness. You know, our kids these days, and even they're bombarded with pictures of superheroes and messages that tell them, you know, this is how you get ahead in the world. You be strong and you go and take what you want. Right? Being strong and cunning and being powerful, that's how you get ahead in this world. But I think we need to teach our kids the virtue of meekness. We need to teach our kids to be meek, to have grace under pressure, to have strength under control. Right? That's what a true hero looks like. Jesus. Let's stop being so enamored with superheroes and strength and power. Let's have a vision. Let's catch the vision of what a true hero looks like. It's Jesus. Secondly, let's focus on the kingdom of God. Let's let the promise of reigning with Christ inspire us and stir us to stop focusing on our own little kingdoms, right? Our own little kingdoms, our own little worlds, our own careers. God promises that we're going to have reward in heaven for our faithfulness here on earth. We're going to reign with Christ. That is amazing. Why do we care so much about our own reputations, our own careers, and our comfortable lifestyles? Our own legacy. Right? The vision of reigning with Christ. That should inspire us and stir us. Let's make much of Christ and less of ourselves. Right? That's what it means to be meek, to make much of Christ and little of ourselves. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I began this morning and running throughout my message, I've been talking about superheroes, you know, those with power and influence, like the Greek gods and goddesses of old. In the world's eye, meekness is weakness, because the world glorifies strength. I wanted to end by sharing with you this really neat, this really, really cool poem that I found online by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. You maybe you've read some of his poetry in AP English or something like that. But this poem I wanted to share, it's called The Challenge of Thor. Okay, Challenge of Thor. Really cool. Really excited about this. Okay, this is The Challenge of Thor by Henry Longfellow. Okay, I am the god Thor. I am the war god. I am the thunderer. Here in my northland, my fastness and fortress reign I forever. Here amid icebergs rule I the nations. This is my hammer, Mjolnir the mighty. Giants and sorcerers cannot withstand it. These are the gauntlets wherewith I wield it, and I hurl it afar off. This is my girdle whenever I brace it. Strength is redoubled. The light thou beholdest stream through the heavens, and flashes of crimson is but my red beard, blown by the night wind, affrighting the nations. Jove is my brother, mine eyes are the lightning, the wheels of my chariot roll in the thunder, the blows of my hammer ring in the earthquake. Force rules the world still, has ruled it, shall rule it. Meekness is weakness, strength is triumphant over the whole earth, still it is Thor's day. Thou art a god too, O Galilean, and thus single-handed unto the combat, gauntlet or gospel, here I defy thee. Here I defy thee. This is the world speaking. This is Thor, his challenge to Jesus. What do you think Jesus' reply would be to this challenge? How would Jesus, hearing this challenge, reply to this God who's so proud of his strength and his thunder and his hammer, his kingdom? What would Jesus say? What would Jesus say to a man like that, to a God like that? I have a suspicion. Matthew 11:29, he says this. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, I am prous, and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's exhausting trying to be strong and have everything together all the time. It's exhausting. We talked about prous as being tamed like an oxen under a yoke. Right? That's what Jesus is talking about. Be yoked to Jesus. Be meek, be tamed by Jesus. Right? Being tamed by Jesus, there is peace and rest. There is joy and contentment. Right? That is true blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so often we want to be like gods. We want to be strong. We want to defy you. We want to have our own little kingdoms, Lord. But Father, I pray that you teach us to be meek. I pray that you teach us true power, true control, true strength, and gentleness, and self-control. Lord, teach us that meekness is not weakness. Lord, meekness is blessing. Lord, help us to focus on our inheritance of reigning with you, and help us now to reign like you. To be meek, to practice that in our homes, in our church, with our friends, at work. Help us to reign like you, Lord, for you are gentle and lowly of spirit, Lord, but you offer true rest. We thank you, Jesus, for your meekness. Help us also to be like you, to be meek, to be prous. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to invite all of you to stand as we sing this last song in response to the message.
Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so. God, we wait, you're coming soon. So we wait for you. God, we wait, you're coming soon. Like a bride. Church ready for you, every heart longing for our King. We sing like a bride waiting for her groom. We'll be a church ready for you, every heart longing for our King. We sing, even so. So come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come.
Would you bow with me? Lord Jesus, today and this morning we lift up your name and we strive to learn your meekness, Lord, when the rest of the world tells us that we might need to have strength like the Hulk or mind control like Professor X, Lord. We know that that the true superhero is your son Jesus, and Lord, may you just teach us that we need you more than ever, God, and that our lives would be meaningless, like King Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, without you. So, Lord, I thank you for the message that you've given us today, and I thank you for the gift of music and these songs that you've presented us. And I pray that your spirit would continue to be among us this morning and for the rest of this week. And all God's people said, Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, and thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. I'd just like to let you know that Sunday school is going to resume today, so youth will be meeting in the fellowship hall at about 11:15, and I believe adult Sunday school will be meeting in the back, led by Carl. Thank you for being here, and once again, we'd like to, both Pastor Jim and myself, we'd like to invite you to come up and let us know if you have any prayer requests that we can pray with you for, or if you have any concerns, or anything you just want to talk to us about. We want to make ourselves available for that, okay? So thank you.
So let's have a closing prayer and then some time for reflection and prayer. Father, we thank you for your meekness and your strength. And we thank you for Jesus, who exemplified true heroism. Father, help us to be meek. Help us to not use our strength in a way that is ungodly, in a way that that Jesus wouldn't. Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for your spirit that continues to transform us into the likeness of your Son. And may the love of God, the Father, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.